We're talking to Dr. Matt Hilton with Lakeshore Health Partners Family and Sports Medicine. And welcome to my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I asked the hospital if they could provide someone who could talk about this disease that I cannot pronounce, but they say Dallas Cowboys center Travis Frederick has and is now out of football indefinitely. They say it's an autoimmune disease. How do you pronounce it?
It's pronounced Guillain-Barré
syndrome, right? It's
a correct, syndrome. Yes. Guillain-Barré syndrome, and it's named after the two physicians who discovered it. I believe they're French. I don't know that for absolute, but I'm pretty sure they're French.
What is it exactly? I know what an autoimmune disease is. It means your immune system can't fight off, say, random infections. But what's Guillain-Barré specifically?
Yeah, it's an interesting disease, and it's an acute inflammatory condition where, and you're correct, with autoimmune, it means the body starts attacking itself in some way. And what happens with Guillain-Barré is usually the patient has some kind of infection, like a typical respiratory infection, or even commonly with this condition, they'll have something in the intestinal tract, like a bacterial infection in the intestinal tract. And usually they'll recover from that. It won't be necessarily a big deal. But then in the weeks following that, they'll start developing symptoms, which are, correlate with Guillain-Barré. And what happens in the body is your body is normally the immune system is creating these antibodies against whatever you're fighting, be it a virus or a bacteria or something. And so those do their job. And then for some reason, we don't really know why, in Guillain-Barré, those antibodies cross over and start attacking the body's nervous system. And that's what happened with Travis Frederick, and that's what happens with other people who develop this.
What are the symptoms that, are they something people would recognize, or are they internal? How is it diagnosed?
It's a clinical diagnosis, meaning there's no specific test. Like, you can't come in and I'm suspicious of it and I'm going to get the Guillain-Barré blood test. That doesn't exist. And so when it's diagnosed clinical means, it means that we're looking for a specific history, like that past infection, and then some specific symptoms such as weakness or numbness and tingling or fatigue or something like that. Travis Frederick came in with symptoms that were similar to a stinger, which in football that's referred to as a situation where like the nerves get stretched or damaged, and they have this temporary numbness, tingling, or even pain sensation. But usually it goes away pretty quick. But his persisted and didn't go away, which led him to appropriately seek out treatment, and it's a good thing that he did.
Yeah, because the other thing is, I would think there people get diagnosed. I don't know if this is a progressive disease or a chronic syndrome. It says syndrome, but what's the difference between something that progresses and gets worse? Is that something Guillain-Barré does, or is it just a chronic thing that a person has it and you have your good days and your bad days?
No, he won't have this for life, and it's something that will go away eventually. In most people, it does. It is progressive until it gets treated. Although there are some times when people can have a really mild case of it and it can just go away on its own and they won't even know about it. But it is oftentimes progressive, meaning that people continue to develop more and more symptoms. And a lot of times those symptoms start lower in the legs or the hands, and then they progress upward towards the body. And where that becomes dangerous is as it gets closer and closer to the diaphragm that allows us to breathe, then you're talking about the your respiratory status being compromised, and which can lead to death. So it can be very serious.
About how many cases do you see? You specialize in this, correct?
Well, I specialize in sports medicine, and so I don't see very much of this. The only time I've seen it is when I was in training in residency, and a guy came in into the ER with it, and he ended up in the hospital and actually in the ICU, which about a third of patients who get admitted to the hospital with it end up in the ICU.
Because of the respiratory issues?
That's correct, yeah.
Wow. What is the treatment? Do you get, like, bombarded with, immunotherapy drugs or just a big antibiotic? What do you do to treat it? And then how quickly do people recover?
The treatment is you're correct. It is immunotherapy, and so what they give people are additional immunoglobulins, which our bodies produce normally anyway. But in this case, they give you a whole bunch more through IV, and that allows the body to take care of it. Sometimes people will need to get what's called a plasma exchange or plasmapheresis, where they take out your plasma and then they give you new plasma. And the idea with that is that they're removing these kind of rogue antibodies that aren't doing their job and are in fact hurting you, and then they replace it with fresh stuff that's going to take care of you. Now, your other question was what's the recovery time frame, and it really depends on how early it was detected and the current health status of the person who was diagnosed and the age of that person too. Mm-hmm. So in Travis Frederick's case, he has the best opportunity really, because he's in a younger population. He's, I think, 27 years old or something like that. And he's in very good physical condition. And this was detected very early before he had any significant symptoms. So his recovery, I mean, recovery can be weeks to months. It really depends. I don't think they're going to be in any kind of rush to get him back because it is a neurologic condition. You don't want to chance that. Mm-hmm. But it all depends on how he responds to treatment and therapy, and you know how he looks in follow-up visits.
He's in great shape going into it because he's an athlete, so he probably has a better chance of a quicker recovery, right?
He's in good physical condition. I'm not aware of any underlying chronic medical issues that he has. I don't know that those would be public anyway, but with him having like a clean bill of health going into this, being a young age, and then being in pretty good or very good physical condition, he has an excellent chance of full recovery. And in fact, 70% of people do make a full recovery with this. Only about 30% of people have some kind of chronic residual side effects from it after they recover. And only 10% of people total with have severe long-term side effects. For diagnosis, it's on the range of 2 people in 100,000, so it's pretty rare.
My first thought was, I know it's rare, but how many people in a year get it? And you just told me 2 in about 100,000 per the United States, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Well, that's still a lot of people. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's probably a few thousand every year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular research or inroads they're making as to how they can eat? Like, will there be a vaccination for this?
There probably won't be a vaccination because it's not necessarily caused by one particular virus, which is what we vaccinate against. And in fact, probably the most common thing is a type of bacteria called Campylobacter jejuni, which that causes gastrointestinal infections, which diarrhea is probably the most common cause or common symptom of that. Mm-hmm. And so you can't really necessarily vaccinate against that. And what we just have to do is take care of ourselves from an infectious disease standpoint in general. And then, you know, people need, as far as physicians go, we just need to be aware of that piece of the history to look for when someone comes in with those kind of symptoms.
Mm-hmm. So wash your hands, and the basic, like, have good hygiene is actually a good preventative for this?
Yeah, wash your hands, don't share drinks, get your general vaccines, and that's probably your best defense.
Okay. Is there anything I didn't ask you about this that people should know?
Let me double check my notes here. I don't think anything. No.
Okay. I have a really dumb question. Almost hardly related to this, but you mentioned that part of the therapy is this immunoglobulin infusion, right?
Correct. Yeah. The short name for it is IVIG.
Why can't people just get that a couple times a year? Like, why can't everybody just get that a couple times a year to stay healthy?
I have no idea. I don't ever administer it, and I don't know if it's from a cost-effectiveness standpoint or what. Yeah.
I just wondered, because I know I'm getting ready to get my flu vaccine and my pneumovax and, you know, all the usual stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute, this thing sounds like one shot and you're done for the year.
They're just giving it to these people to get them over the hump and kind of bolster their immune system while they fight this off, and then they move on from there.
It's really, really cool. You're a sports medicine guy, but how does that translate into, like, what did you study?
Well, after 4 years of medical school, I did 3 years of training in family medicine at Metro in Grand Rapids. And then I stayed there and did a sports medicine fellowship for a year. And that entailed all kinds of stuff, learning how to diagnose and manage concussions, learning how to do joint injections, taking care of all kinds of musculoskeletal issues, performance issues, being on the sidelines for sports games and big races and stuff like that. And so I still do a bunch of that stuff here with through Holland Hospital and our sports medicine program. I cover Hamilton High School. I go to a bunch of Hope College games, and we take care of the Park to Park Marathon and Tulip Time Race and all that good stuff.
Oh, that's really cool. That was my next question. You anticipated that very well. But in general, doctors would know what Guillain-Barré is. It's like a basic immuno...
Yeah, it's one of those things that's like you don't ever want to miss it because it is progressive and it can lead to paralysis and respiratory failure. And so it's like you would never want to miss that.
Right.
Even though it's rare and it has that unique name that we all tend to remember.
Once we know how to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You're welcome, Peg. Take care.
You too. Bye.